Thank you for joining me here on Coast to Coast AM. I'll be with you for the next couple of hours. We're taking your phone calls this evening. We're also talking with our guest, Charles Richbloom, nicknamed Dr. Knowledge. He has built one of the largest collections in the world of fascinating facts and stories that serve as a source for his Knowledge in a Nutshell book series. Richbloom served as news and sports director of WJAS in Pittsburgh and taught college journalism. He founded a news service, Century Features, which syndicated interesting facts to newspapers and radio stations worldwide. His real love, though, is finding, researching, and writing facts, stories, and quotes that are surprising, amazing, relevant, enlightening, educational, entertaining, and that make learning fun. He fulfilled his lifelong dream of creating the Knowledge in a Nutshell series and says one of his greatest thrills from his books is when readers say, "I didn't know that." We've been talking about Friday the 13th. We've been talking about superstitions. And we've got callers lined up that have questions for our guest and want to chime in with us. Let's start off with West of the Rockies, Hank in Santa Ana, California. Welcome to the show.
Well, howdy, howdy. And I just had to call in when you're talking about the numbers and so on. I consider 13 a lucky number because I was born on Friday the 13th. The house I live in, my street address is 3113, and the one I was in before this was 513. And it's all just coincidence. And on top of all that, I have a proposal for the calendar, a change. Instead of the present calendar, go to a calendar with 28 days for all months. Start the first month and the first of the year on Sunday. So the first day of the month is always on a 1. And the only thing of it is, when you go to that, guess what? To get the 364 days, it takes 13 months. And then you'd have to have one extra day to keep everything in sync, so you'd call it Year's Day or something like that. And then on Leap Year, call it New Year's Day and then Leap Year Day. But keep everything, in other words, it would not be weekly days. They'd be special days to keep everything in sync. And think how much simpler that would make it for keeping books and programs and payment schedules and everything else. So anyhow, just had to throw those at you.
I'm with you, Hank. Let's get it started. How do we go about doing that, Charles? How do we make the change? Coast to Coast AM wants to make the change to 13 months a year.
I was just going to say, first of all, if you start every month the 1st, you're always going to have a Friday the 13th.
You got it.
Every month, you'll have a Friday the 13th. Because any month that starts on a Sunday has a Friday the 13th. That idea has been proposed. The French wanted to do that, and it does make a lot of sense. Because when you look at our calendar today, it's very erratic. Some months have 30 days, some have 31. Poor February only has 29 in leap years. And incidentally, there's an interesting story about that. February originally did have 30 days, but Julius Caesar, the month named after him was July, and July in those days only had 30 days. He wanted his month to be longer, so he took a day away from February and added it to July. That made July 31 days. And then along after Julius Caesar, along came the Emperor Augustus. August was named after him, which had only 30 days originally. He took another day away from February because he wanted his month to be as long as Julius Caesar's month. So he took a day away from February, and that left poor February with only 28 days, or 29 in leap years. So
well, didn't they want to add too, Charles? I thought there was a 13th zodiac sign, Ophicus, I think it was the 13th sign, which they tried to. I thought it was like a year or two ago they were talking about trying to add that into the astrological calendar.
Uh huh. Well, yeah. That is true. That's right. Yeah.
See, that would fit right in with Hank's ideas on this. Let's go to the first time caller line, Dave in Corpus Christi, Texas. Welcome to Coast AM. What would you like to share with us this evening?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, real quick, I wanted to ask you, what do you know about owls? I guess maybe more specifically barn owls.
Well, owls are considered very smart, you know, because they look smart, right? They have big eyes, and they look like they're thinking and everything. But actually, owls are among the least smart of the birds. For example, crows are much smarter than owls. a crow's butt, they're very, they can figure things out. Like if they go, a nut will say they will drop it on the road. So a car will run over it. And they swoop down to get the nut. They figured that out. Owls, on the other hand, even though they look smart, really aren't smart.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. Let's go ahead and we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we've got more with our guest and more of your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host for the evening, Dave Schrader, filling in for George Norrie. I'll be here with you for the next hour and 45 minutes. We're taking your phone calls if you have questions for our guest or you'd like to share your insights on superstitions, bad luck, specific dates and numbers that freak you out or you find that are actually much better luck. I know a lot of people look at the number sevens as being very popular and aside from dice being that way, doesn't the Chinese culture look at sevens or is it eights as a really good form of luck in phone numbers and addresses?
I think, I'm not sure of that, Dave, but I think you're right. I think it is eight is their lucky number. And we certainly have seven as a lucky number for, no question about that.
Let's go to wild card line number one. Mike in Hawaii, you're on Coast to Coast AM. What would you like to share with us?
Aloha, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call, Dave. And I am just thrilled at your guest, Charles. I'm so glad that you're on. I'm one of those guys that just loves information. I'm the guy in the neighborhood. Everybody calls when they have a question. So my nickname used to be Cliff Clavin back when Cheers was on. So I'm just thrilled to be able to talk to you. And this is definitely my lucky day. I noticed that a lot of the cultures share a lot of different superstitions, even though back in the day they had no contact. For example, my wife is Polish. At the time, 11:11. The time of day at night, I guess, more specifically than the morning, that she always makes a wish. If she sees that on a clock, she makes a wish. We'll also have a Korean friend, and it's also a superstition in the Korean culture as well. I'd just like to get your take on that, and what is the significance of the 11:11?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave.
I was going to say, Charles, what do you think about the 11:11 prompt? Is there anything to that? I've certainly got the idea it's a mnemonic trigger. People notice it. Just like, my birthday is November 22nd. I notice 11:22 on the clock or 12:34 in that number category. I don't know that necessarily has any magical meaning other than the fact that my mind, I probably look at the clock a billion times a day, but because I'm trained to see 11:22 and 1, 2, 3, 4, I notice those more often. Where do you come down on that, Charles?
Well, let's look at the other side of the coin. 9/11 happened on the 11th. And that certainly was an unlucky day for the United States, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And by the way, there are so many coincidences with 9/11. We have a whole list of them in our book. For example, there were 111 days left in the year after September 11th. New York City has 11 letters in its name. The Pentagon has 11 letters in its name. The Pennsylvania town where the third plane went, Shanksville, has 11 letters in its name. The president then was George W. Bush. That has 11 letters. There are a whole mess of those. So, in that case, some people consider 11 lucky, but on the other hand, it certainly was not a lucky day for the country, 9/11. And our emergency number is 911, incidentally, and that if you have to call 911, that's not very lucky. So that is the other side of the coin. If I might add a story about 911, the emergency number, to change the subject here a little bit, but still talk about 11. When it started, it was going to be 999. But this was back in the 1960s when they first started that, and most people had dial phones, and they realized it took longer to dial a 9 than it did a 1. They had to keep 1-9 for technical reasons, but they changed the other two nines to ones. So our emergency number is 911 because it was easier, quicker to dial 911. And there's a funny story about that. When it first came out, it was called 911. And there were some people that said, I don't have an 11 on my phone. So they changed the terminology from 911 to 911 so people wouldn't get confused.
Good grief. Well, again, and thank you for calling in, Gary, and Mike, and sharing with us. With the 1111s and the different time prompt, I also mentioned it's a lot like, you know, when PT Cruisers first came out, I loved them. They had that throwback look to the early cars of the late 30s and early 40s. And I went out and bought one. And being a Minnesota Vikings fan, I got this really beautiful deep purple colored PT Cruiser. All I saw on the roads were black, white, and silver PT Cruisers. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as I bought my car, everybody had a purple PT Cruiser. Does that mean that they just came out after I was so popular in mine? Or was it the fact that now my brain recognized this pattern? You got to remember, our brains are always looking to make sense of chaos. So looking at these things, it would make sense that we would actually reach out and start to notice patterns like the 1111 and 1234 and so much more. So that's where I think a lot of this is coming down from. Let's go. Is it wild card 2 that we have with Gary in Houston, Texas, or did we just go to that one? I'm sorry. All right, we've got Gary now in Houston, Texas, wild card 2. Gary, welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
Hi, Dave. I just wanted to take issue with Charles's contention that the origination of the superstition of knocking on wood was a Native American origin, because it actually predates the discovery of America by about 400 or 500 years. It was actually Scandinavian, and the Norwegians used to believe that fairies lived in trees, and when they needed good luck, they would knock on the tree to wake up the fairy. And that is what I've learned, and I wonder what your guest would say about that.
All these things have nobody really knows, because there was no historian on the scene back in ancient days writing down these things that happened. So there are a lot of these things where nobody really knows for sure how they started, and they're over the years. Different theories have come up, and I'm sure the one you mentioned, that theory has come up. You really have to take people who really study these things, you take a majority opinion, and usually if you do research on this, you'll see the majority of people who really study these things talk about the Indians feeling that because the tree is struck by lightning, that the god of light lives in that tree, and therefore touching the tree would be good luck. But you're correct too, and again, it's going back to why 13 is unlucky. You can go back to the old Norse mythology, go back that far, or just go to the Last Supper. Some people feel it's where 13, the unluckiness of 13 started.
Right, it's so, almost like every culture has a different variation of these stories.
Yeah, yeah.
What's interesting is Christianity has the story of Noah and the Ark, but yet in every known religion and cultures, there is the story of the flood and a large ship. So there is this kind of cross-cultural idea that all of these things spring up and pop up in different belief systems and religions and cultures all across the world.
And nobody really knows for sure, you know.
Right.
Who was the first person that said 13 was unlucky? You know, we'll never know that. So, and that's true of you know, so many of these things. We just did a story on where OK came from. Why do we say OK? What, you know, what does the O and the K stand for? And there are different theories on that. There are about 3 or 4 different historians have, you know, different ideas what the origin of OK is. The most prevalent one, by the way, is that when Martin Van Buren ran for president of the United States in the early 1800s, he was from a town called Kinderhook, New York, a little town in upstate New York. And he used to always call it Old Kinderhook. And then when he ran for president, his campaign had the Old Kinderhook Club, or the OK Club. And they started calling him OK. And then that just gradually entered our language as being something good or all right. And so many historians think that's where OK came from, but there are others who say it came from other sources as well. And incidentally, speaking of that, just an interesting fact, OK is probably the one word, if you want to call it a word, that's understood almost everywhere in the world. You can go almost anywhere in the world, and no matter what language people speak, people know OK. If you say OK, they know what you're saying in virtually all languages. And yet it's a relatively new word in language. It probably came in the 1800s, and yet it is so prevalent worldwide today.
That's fascinating. Yeah, I guess I didn't even realize that, but you're right. Every country seems to just accept that as a normal part of our regular conversation and how it goes through. Let's grab another call here. Well, do we have time? We'll get a quick call. We'll take wild card line four, Tony in West Virginia. Welcome to Coast AM. What did you want to share with us?
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for listening this evening.
Hey, good. Charles, I hope you're doing good.
Charles? Yes, thank you.
Good yeah. Well, I have a quick question. I need to explain my situation before I can go into my question here. I live in a small town in Virginia called Galax, Virginia, which is right over the border of North Carolina. I moved here about 10 years ago from down in North Carolina, where it was a bigger town. It was almost a city where I live. But when I moved here about 10 years ago, I noticed a thing about this town that not a lot of people around here like to get their picture taken, either by video or still picture. Around in this area is really famous for having a lot of its culture come from the heritage of England and Scotland and Ireland and when people migrated here to this area, and that's the reason they like this area so much. But I got to talking to some people around here about the picture situation. Why don't people like getting their picture taken around here? And it's because of something, because of their great-great-great-granddaddy or great-great-great-grandma or something, that back when photographs were first being developed or cameras were first being developed, that there was a superstition that cameras captured a soul of an individual, and so right. It just stuck. And I had heard of it a little bit through like Twilight Zone. I think Twilight Zone did an episode about that once, and maybe like a obscure horror movie or something did something like that. And I'm like, yeah, that's silly. I've never thought that would be prevalent in the late or in the early 21st century.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of Native American culture believed some of that, and so does the Amish community, also part of that. Thank you very much for giving us a call this evening, Tony, and being a part of the show with us. Our guest for the evening, as we wrap up with him for the next half an hour, Charles. And we've been talking to Charles about his book series and his amazing information, Knowledge in a Nutshell. You can find information about him and about his books at knowledgeinanutshell.com. Charles Richblum, our guest this evening on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Good morning. Thank you very much for tuning in and spending your Friday the 13th with me here on Coast to Coast AM, filling in for George Norrie. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm the host of Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio, five nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight. You can check out more about me, about my show, and where you can meet me all around the world this next year as I go to conferences from city to town to state and out of the country as well, all checked out at darknessradio.com. darknessradio.com. Click on the events tab to find out where you can meet me and where I'll be. You can also check out all of the other cool tabs and items that we have there. Free archives of Darkness Radio right on the site. Check it out and be a part of our world. And then when you listen to our show live Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight, keep your dial tuned right there on our site, because immediately George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM takes over after our show, and you can continue your journey into the bizarre. This evening, we've been having a fascinating talk with Charles Richbloom from knowledgeinanutshell.com. That's knowledgeinanutshell.com. Amazing factoids, fun bits of information, all collected together, and we've been talking about them tonight. You know, another fascinating bit that has to do with 9/11 that I was just reminded of, Charles, is that 1 year to the date after the September 11th attack, the winning lottery number was 9/11.
That is right. Also, there's right. One other that I wanted to mention, too, the groundbreaking for the Pentagon. It was in 1941, and what do you think the date was that they had the groundbreaking ceremony to build the Pentagon? It was September 11th in 1941.
And then, oh, wow.
And then, wait, you know, 60 years later, the plane hit the Pentagon on 9/11.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
All those years later. Will in Michigan is writing in. He says, an interesting story about the 911 in the 90s. Office buildings had to dial 9 to get an outside line, and in moments of panic, people would not always remember that. Specifically, one guy during an emergency was trying to dial 911 and had to ask somebody what was the number for 911. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us. If you have emails, if you'd like to send me an email on air this evening at dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. Let's go to wildcard line 3, Jaeger in Pitcher, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share with us?
I was going to share that Friday the 13th really is unlucky. It's been very unlucky for me the whole day, and it's still going. I was run over by my tractor twice this morning while starting it. It's an old crank start. I start it, it jumps in gear and run me over. I got run over by the hay rake, so I was cut up from that. And coming through the pitcher here with the Mac, the fuel gauge apparently ain't working, and I ran out of diesel. I'm sitting here waiting on the shop guys from Joplin. And, oh, crap, that's a snake. Copperhead, excuse me.
Well, it sounds like his luck is still not holding out. Jaeger, I hope things turn around for you. Boy, run over a couple of times, and now he's got a copperhead snake by him. I think Friday the 13th may truly be one of the worst days for this poor guy, Charles. How about that?
Yeah, well, you know, on the other hand, bad things can happen on other days too, right? As we all
That's
know.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Let's grab another call. Wildcard line 5, Peggy, Winnipeg, Manitoba, and we're putting out good hopes and prayers for our friend Jaeger in Pitcher, Oklahoma, that he avoids that snake and the rest of the day goes better for him. But Peggy, welcome to the show. How are things in Manitoba?
Sorry, Tyler. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for calling in.
Listen, I got some absolutely positive news about Friday the 13th.
All right. Lay it on me. What
it
do we got?
It has not been unlucky for me. My daughter was born on Friday the 13th. My oldest, she's going to be 29 this year, and her birthday falls on the same day that she was born this year, and I had a big fight with my doctor the day before because she had all the papers done for the 30th of June, and I said, no, she's going to be born on my birthday. She was born at 4:13 in the afternoon. She weighed 4 pounds, 13 ounces, and we have the metric system up here, and it worked out. You guys are still on the old thing, but she was four inches, 13, you know, like inches long.
Right.
And she was a tiny, tiny baby. Like she was a preemie. But she was very, very healthy. And the same thing happened with my youngest one. She was born on my birthday. July the 1st.
Well, you've been blessed, Peggy. You've got a lot of good stuff going on those dates. Thanks a lot for calling in.
And I don't have any issues with Friday the 13th, and I feel sorry for the last guy. But he's got to start meditating.
You think that's the change? If you just meditate and bring good
that's
to you,
that's the change. He has
no
to start meditating.
You know, we talk about bad days and bad things that happen, Charles. I thought I was in a really bad curse. I've spent, I think, out of the last 5 years, 4 years on Mother's Day in the hospital, sicker than a dog, disease. And as a matter of fact, last year I suffered a heart attack on Mother's Day and was in the hospital again. And this year I was in Scotland and was just terrified what was going to hit me while I was out there. And this year I beat it. I'm glad to say that my five-year span of bad luck on Mother's Day ended this year as well. So as you said, bad things can happen on any day. It just, coincides with the Friday 13th kind of being the accepted norm for weirdness. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more callers. Mark in Laguna, California. Carl in Pittsburgh. And Doris in San Diego. You're up next on Coast to Coast AM. Good evening. Welcome back. This is Coast to Coast AM, and sitting in for George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader. Charles Richbloom is our guest this evening. Dr. Knowledge. He is the author of the Knowledge in a Nutshell series. Check out knowledgeinanutshell.com for more information. We're talking to him. We're also taking your phone calls. First-time caller, Mark, Laguna, California. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Dave and Charles. I just want to preface my question for Dr. Knowledge by saying I used to live in a New York City apartment building on the 13th floor, and I got to tell you, those were the best years of my life. So I'm kind of a cynic when it comes to superstitions.
Sure.
But when I was 6 years old, one of the neighborhood jokers said, "Don't step on a crack or you'll break your mother's back." Now, that's plagued me my entire life. When I walk a lot in various cities and I'm, looking down and I just avoid cracks. Is there something to that, Dr. Knowledge, or is it just a bad pun?
No, I think it's just, because it rhymed, so the kids probably started saying that and then it just passed along. But I did want to say, when you lived on the 13th floor, I don't know if you were with us earlier, there are a lot of buildings that don't have a 13th floor.
Absolutely. Pre-war buildings, they had them, and then after, I guess it was, would it be World War One where they stopped putting the 13th floor in?
Yeah, and there's still some buildings that go for go from 12 to 14. The same thing we mentioned on airplanes. There are some airlines that don't have a 13th row.
Right.
But I'm glad you had good luck on the 13th floor. In your building.
Yeah, and, I was going to say the 405 from Laguna to Los Angeles right now is closed, but I would consider that a bad omen for Friday the 13th, or a bad nightcap, if you will. But on the other hand, I got to hear a great show. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Hey, thank you very much for listening. Well, in the Jewish faith, 13 is a good number as well. Isn't that when they consider boys become men at the age of 13?
Correct, yeah. The bar mitzvah is at age 13, yes.
Yeah. All right, let's go east of the Rockies. We've got Carl in Pittsburgh. Welcome to Coast, Carl. What have you got for me?
Well, thank you, gents. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm very familiar with Dr. Knowledge. I listen to the show all the time and a relatively regular caller. And, Doctor, I still miss the show.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
And I wanted to see the full moon tonight, and so I stepped out on my porch about one-ish, and there was an aura around it, circular, and it had pale blue and pink, sort of like a circular rainbow, not all the colors. And I'd never seen anything like that before. And then when somebody else came home, I said, "You've got to see this." And we went out, and it was gone. And I just wonder, is that just a meteorological phenomenon, or would that have any kind of significance of any sort? Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't seen that, but you do get different colors, depending on the cloud composition and lights. But it is interesting, first of all, to have a full moon on Friday the 13th. That's very, very rare. I think Dave mentioned earlier in the program, it's not going to happen again for 30 more years that we'll have a full moon on a Friday the 13th. So, you know, there are people who attach some significance to that, because you also have the full moon bad luck theory, too. But, it, you know, we get so many different colors in our sky just because of the light reflecting off the clouds and other things in the atmosphere.
And according to one of the science websites that I'd pulled up, moon halos are caused by tiny ice crystals that have gathered 20,000 feet above the ground as thin, wispy clouds. And these clouds are so thin that you will not notice them at night if it weren't for their effect on the moonlight. Incoming light rays from the moon then are bent or diffracted by these ice crystals. And that means that in addition to the direct moonlight, you'll also see diffracted moonlight in a circle 22 degrees away from the moon. And it's about the distance of your fist held at arm's length. And like a rainbow, the halo can actually be slightly colored. Most of the times you'll see it reddish on the inside or blue on the outside. And that just might be a sign that you've got some rain coming in your way. And those really high wispy clouds can be forerunners of storm clouds that you may see blowing through here. And I know like in Minnesota, we're expecting some storm clouds and possible rain tomorrow. So I don't know what you're weather forecast is like there in Pittsburgh, Carl, but that very well could be what you're about to deal with as well. All right, let's go. And we've got west of the Rockies, Doris in San Diego. Thank you for staying up late with us, Doris. What did you want to share?
I was going to ask about the number 13 not being given to a four in a building, but I also want to say my oldest son was born on July the 13th.
Well, that turned out to be a good luck day for you. Yeah, we were just talking with Charles about the fact that there are buildings without a 13th floor that have actually reworked and restructured entire deals. There's hotels where you will not find a 13th room. They'll go from 11, 12 to 14 on many deals. There's airplanes that avoid the number 13 altogether. Street numbers have been changed to avoid the number 13. So, yeah, that's a common practice. And it's funny that it's that kind of thing. You know, Charles, I know this is going to sound like a stretch, but isn't it weird how we'll go out of our way to avoid things with 13 or accepting 13 on buildings, on elevator floors, in airplanes, yet in the politically correct environment of 2014, we still have a football team called the Redskins.
That is another topic. You know, there are some ball players, speaking of football, there are some ball players who, football, baseball, other sports, basketball, they want to wear the number 13. And there have been some good quarterbacks. Dan Marino wore number 13, became a Hall of Famer. Wilt Chamberlain, the great basketball player, wore 13 by choice, you know. So,
right.
And they had good luck, you know. They had great careers. And the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates wears 13, Clint Hurdle, which was his number as a player. So, you know, it works both ways. And so, you know, you never know, right?
And you
sort of remember, you remember what you want to remember. If something bad happened to you on a certain date, you know, you're going to say that's an unlucky number, whereas for other people it might be a lucky number.
Yeah, and you might have only noticed that something bad happened today because it was Friday the 13th because you were looking for something to go wrong when you probably had something go wrong on Monday the 12th or Friday the 17th as well. Let's grab another call here. Wildcard Line 2, Art in Oregon. Welcome to the show, Art.
Well, good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great and getting better. How about you?
Doing great. Yeah, I'm out here in Southern Oregon. I wanted to make a comment to your guest here about the 13-month calendar. They actually have one. The Foundation for the Law of Time puts it out there out of Ashland, Oregon. Their website is lawoftime.org. It's the calendar is really interesting. I've been using it for the last couple of years. It really kind of helps you get in more in sync with natural time. There's actually 13 moons in a year, so it's a little more natural keeping to that.
It makes a lot of sense, and I just thought of this. I'd mentioned the French before. The French did try that right after the French Revolution around 1800. They used that calendar for a couple of years, and then they went back to our calendar just to be in sync with everybody else in the world. But
right.
It does make sense.
Yeah, it really does. It's a more natural way of keeping time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in. Yeah. We appreciate it, Art.
I doubt it will change because people don't like change, but it probably would make more sense.
Let's try and round out our last call that we have in this hour, wild card line for James in Wisconsin. Thank you for hanging in with us. And what's your question for us this evening?
Well, I don't have a question for you. I'm weighing in on the 13. The 13 is frequency specific, like the guy in the Law of Time guy is talking about. We have Ophidius too, was one of the things that Nostradamus used in his charts. And then I also wanted to make mention about the 1111. The 1111 is the phenomenon that's been going on since the 90s with Cryon, the guy that first brought that in, and that's also a frequency-specific understanding. And then there's a document that's in the Smithsonian Institute that the 1111 was a channeling brought in for the 11 universal and 11 spiritual laws of the universe.
Very intriguing. Thank you for sharing that information with us. I know author Marie D. Jones has a book out called 1111, The Time Prompt Theory. You could check that out, or Time Prompt Phenomena. You can check it out and get some more insights into that and why these things may occur. It's been a pleasure talking with you this evening, Charles. And how many books do you have out in your series now, Knowledge in a Nutshell?
Well, it's been great talking with you, Dave. We have 6 Knowledge in a Nutshell books. One is simply called Knowledge in a Nutshell, which has a little bit of everything. Then we have one on sports, Knowledge in a Nutshell on sports, one on movies, one on America, one on success, and one on the movies. So
great.
We have 6 here, and people can call 1-800-NUTSHELL if they'd like information on that, and also go to our website, knowledgeinthenutshell.com.
Charles Rich Bloom, our guest this evening. I want to thank you so much for spending time with us. And I look forward to talking to you again on my show. And I'm sure we'll have you back here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I've got some more fascinating bits of information and strange coincidences we'll continue to talk about. And if you'd like to continue to call in and share with questions or thoughts on superstitions and why in the 21st century would we still buy into strange superstitions, give us a call here on the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.